To the last book of the Bible, please, Revelation and chapter 20. So wonderful to see you all here tonight. I don't know everybody, but you are all equally welcome, even if this is your very first time. You are just as welcome as those that come here every week. The main purpose of this meeting is that you might be saved. We don't want your money. We're not looking for you to join this church. That's not the point. All we're looking for you tonight is that you might be saved. And if you don't know what that means, we will explain it as we go. Now, my topic tonight is what the Bible calls eternity. I'm going to just speak to you about eternity. So if you look at the chart behind me, we will be looking at this throne in the grave, the judgment of the great white throne, the lake of fire, and heaven. So that will be the topic this evening. And all of this is called eternity in the Bible. So Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, reading down to chapter 21, verse 8. And the devil that deceived them, that's the people that live in the world, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet are. And they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, that's the Lord Jesus, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. So the universe disappears. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things that were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead bodies that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead souls which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So the scene changes now from this doom in the lake to this heavenly glory. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of God from heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, these are solemn verses, and we trust that they will be used of the Lord in your salvation this evening. Now, it is not my intention to work through these verses verse by verse. It was literally my intention just to read what eternity looks like. So in the end of chapter 20, we got a picture of this throne and the lake of fire. And then in chapter 21, we got a picture of the new heavens and the new earth. And that is where people will be forever. Forever is another word for eternity. You see, after death, there are two destinies, heaven or the lake of fire. And once you die, you are never coming back, and you cannot change places if you land in the wrong place. Because once you've died, you have entered eternity. And if you don't believe in eternity, remember what we read tonight. These things are true. So I'm going to ask three questions tonight. Eternity, why? Secondly, eternity, what? And finally, eternity, where? So why is there such a thing as eternity? Why can we not just die and that's it? We go in the grave, we're covered over, and our life is finished. We don't remember before we're born, and we won't remember after we die. And this is what the atheists will tell you, and this is what the culture will tell you. Well, that's not why God made you. God made you for eternity. God made you in his image. And his plan was, in creating people, that they would glorify him and enjoy him forever. God would never set out to create people that would just die and disappear. His original plan, until we ruined it with our sin, was to create people that would live forever. He never intended that people's souls should leave their bodies. That's a temporary situation because sin and death has come in. But God's desire is that you live for eternity in his presence. That's what he made you for, and that is your plan. When I went to college to study, I remember very clearly it was in a place called High Wycombe, halfway between where I lived and London, and there was a tall lad. We were about 16, 17 at the time. I had just been saved a couple of years before that. He was just a lad at college and didn't know anything about the gospel. And he said to me one day, "I wish I could live forever," which was a very strange comment for someone to make to you at the end of a cabinet-making teaching session. He said to me, "I wish I could live forever." And I looked him straight in the eye and I said, "You will." Now, he didn't want me to tell him that it's heaven and hell and all that. This is the perverse mind of human beings. They want to live forever. But when you say, "Do you want heaven or hell?" they say, "No, I'd rather stay here." They don't want to go to hell. They actually don't want to go to heaven either. They want to live forever here and go to Las Vegas every summer and make as much money as they can and pick up as many followers on social media as they can. This is how blind human beings are. They only think here. In our country, we have a game called bingo. Do you have bingo in Canada? Yes, well, on the outside the bingo place, it says the time, 2:30, eyes down. 7:30, eyes down. Eyes down, looking at the bingo. But of course, this is how the devil has people, eyes down. Looking at the stocks and shares, looking at TikTok, looking at the news, looking at... Now, how about putting your eyes ahead and think about eternity? There's a verse in Ecclesiastes and it says this: God has set eternity in our hearts. You say, what does that mean? Well, our heart is just the biblical way of describing our minds and our inner being. God has set eternity in there. Now, certain Christian philosophers have called it a God-shaped hole. And what they mean is that there's a vacuum in there that's shaped like God, and you can put as much money in there, as much ecstasy in there, as much holidays in there, as much gadgets in there as you like, you will still feel utterly empty. Only God can fill that hole. Well, this isn't really the God-shaped hole here, but it's the idea that you were made for eternity. And so your attempts to find satisfaction in money, your attempts to find satisfaction in substance abuse, your attempt to find satisfaction binge-watching Netflix, these things don't even begin to touch what you are made for. You are made for eternity. God has put eternity in your heart. This is the instinct. So you don't just have an instinct that God exists. You have that. You do not just have an instinct that sin is wrong. You have that. You also have an instinct that there must be something after death. It cannot be that I just cease to exist. Have you ever been at someone's death? It's a very strange thing when someone dies and you're sitting there and they're a living, breathing human being, and you've perhaps known them all your life, and that you know their personality, and you have so many memories attached to it, and you can't even put your finger on what it is. And then they breathe their last breath. And this body that suddenly just is still and the blood starts to sink to the back, and they start to go white, and they just lie there, and you just know they are not there anymore. All that's left is this shell. But you just know that something has left them. That person is gone. The Bible talks about Rachel, when she gave birth to Benjamin, that she died and her soul departed. This is what happens when you die. Your soul departed. And so we know this. That's why people are afraid to die. Because atheism tells them that, oh, don't worry about it. It's all subconscious and you'll just go into the ground. But people are not satisfied with that answer. And when they come to the end, they're terrified. What if? What if? Where am I going? What if I haven't done enough to get? If there is a heaven, am I going to go there? If there is a hell, am I going to go there? And people in churches around here, they're taught sometimes there's a place between heaven and hell called purgatory. And you go there for a while, and then people can say masses for you and hopefully get you out into heaven and all this, and there's this whole stuff about the afterlife, and it doesn't matter what culture you look at and what century you look at. I was taught in classics at school all about the ancient Greeks and the underworld, and you paid money to the keeper of the boat and he takes you across the river of death and all of this, and then you go back to ancient Egypt and they used to bury the pharaohs, and they would put money in the hand of the pharaoh lying in the tomb, and that's the money that he pays to the man to take him across the river of death into wherever they thought he was going. Everybody in all centuries going back to the beginning of time has known there's something after death. It's called eternity. Now, we don't know it because the cultures believed it. The cultures believed it because it's in the heart of man. God has put eternity in your heart. Then this is a profound realization. I hope if you haven't had this realization, you'll have this realization tonight. The realization is this: I am going to live somewhere forever. So it doesn't actually make any difference whether you're 6 or 56 or 106. In this meeting, I'm looking, no one is excluded. All the people on this side and all the people on this side will still exist A million years from today, 10 trillion years from today, you will never cease to exist, which is why before I was saved and I couldn't understand salvation, I was trying to get saved and I sometimes wished I'd never been born. Because I just thought I would rather never be born than end up in the wrong place. That's what Judas was told, wasn't it? The Lord Jesus said about the man who betrayed him, it was better that he'd never been born. You see all the people that are going to be in that lake of fire, every one of them will think to themselves, I wish I'd never been born. Eternity, why? We will live forever because we've been made in God's image and we were designed to live forever. But let me now ask the second question. Eternity, what? What is eternity? Eternity is the great forever after death. Back in the UK, we used to have a man who was in a church like this up in Scotland. His name was Isaac Ewan, and he fought in the First World War. He was there on July the 1st, 1916, when the British made a massive assault on the German lines in a place called the Somme, and 60,000 British people were killed or wounded in one day. And he wrote a number of poems about the Battle of the Somme. And he wrote a poem about eternity. And this is how the first verse goes. Timeless eternity, sureless infinity, measureless, limitless, fathomless sea, pause on the brink today, ponder eternity, ever and ever and ever to be, to exist forever. Well, there's many more verses to that hymn, but you get the general idea. You say, how do you know it's forever? Well, let me tell you from the Bible. When God wants to speak about something that lasts forever, he uses a Greek word called aion, from which we get eons. We talk about eons and eons and eons. Well, that's where it comes from. And it means forever. So, for example, I was reading in Hebrews the other day, and I read these words, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. So, that's all you need. Forever. But because we're slow to grasp things, sometimes God doubles up. And so when he really wants to emphasize eternity, he uses that word twice. So for example, Revelation chapter 5, verse 14, he talks about God and he says, God is him that lives forever and forever. You say, well, why does he need to say it what twice? Forever is forever. Yes, well, God is using the strongest possible language. It actually literally means from the ages to the ages. It's just like saying it goes on and on and on and never ends. But you know, God even goes further than that. He not only says forever, that would be enough. He not only says forever and forever, but on two very rare occasions, and we read one of them tonight, he uses a treble emphasis. He makes sure we get the idea of eternity by using three speech forms. So, Revelation 14:11, people who die in their sins will be tormented. Have you ever been tormented? Maybe you had a car accident and you were in extreme pain. Until the ambulance came, you were tormented. Or maybe you've had some horrible skin disease, or maybe you've had kidney stones. My dad had kidney stones. He said it was the most painful thing. Not gallstones, kidney stones. He said it was the most painful experience he's ever had in his whole life. That's the idea of being tormented. Revelation 14, people will be tormented. Number one, day and night. Number two, forever. Number three, and ever. Now, the other one we read was in Revelation 20, verse 10. It talks about the devil being cast into this lake of fire. And there were two other people cast into that lake of fire before him. They were cast into the lake of fire 1,000 years before him. And it then says the devil was cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. You know, there are some people who call themselves Christians who say hell's not forever. Some very well-known Christians. And they just can't reconcile the idea of eternal torment. So they say it just lasts for a short time and then it sort of stops. God puts the Antichrist and the false prophet into the lake of fire. And 1,000 years later, he puts the devil in. And he doesn't say the devil's cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet were until they got exterminated. He casts them 1,000 years later into the same lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet still are. They're still there. And the devil is going to be tormented, remember? Number one, day and night. Number two, forever. Number three, and ever. Now, please, dear friend, my hands are clear of your blood. I've told you. I've told you the unvarnished truth. If you die and go into eternity, you will die and you will go into eternity, but when that happens, you will now exist in that eternity forever. You will never cease to exist. You will never be annihilated. You will never be somehow put out of action. You will eternally exist in an uninterrupted, unchanging, eternal condition. Now, there's a lot of people who claim to be Christians who say they believe in heaven, but they don't believe in hell. Maybe you're like that. In Christmas 2017, my wife and I visited a lady and her husband, a very devout religious. She was a Roman Catholic. He was Church of England, but he converted to Catholicism when he married her, and they sent their children to a Jesuit school. They were very devout, and they knew what we believed. We invited them to meetings, and sometimes they came. Their name was Wendy and Robert Herdman. They lived in a beautiful old house that went back centuries. It used to be the house belonging to the minister of the Church of England next by, which would have been a Catholic church before the Reformation, and we used to love to go and see them. They were lovely, lovely people, but when we got onto the gospel, it was always a bit tricky. And in Christmas of 2017, Wendy said to me, "I believe that hell is a state of mind on earth." In other words, you talk to some people about going to hell. "Oh, I've already been through hell. You know, I got divorced 10 years ago. I've already been through hell. Or I had an accident and I lost the power of my legs and I'm living, it's a living hell every day for me." People talk to in so many ways. "Oh, I've been through hell. My life has been hell." And that's what she said to me. She said, "Hell is a state of mind on earth." So I said to her, "Wendy, do you believe in heaven?" "Oh, yes, I believe in heaven." "And you're going to go there?" "Well, I hope so." So I said, "You believe that the Bible talks about heaven and hell, but you've decided that hell is just a state of mind while you're living on earth, but heaven's a real place." "Yes, that's what I believe." I said, "Where did you get that from?" "Well, of course, she was stuck. The Catholic Church doesn't even teach that. She wanted that to be true. She wanted there to be this heaven, but she just couldn't face the fact that there was a hell." But you see, the Bible puts them together in exactly the same terms and exactly the same description. So, for example, in Matthew chapter 25, and this is the death knell for so many cults and so many religions, it talks about people that are not saved and people that are saved, and they go into eternity, and this is what it says. These, the not saved ones, will go away into everlasting punishment, but these, the righteous ones who are saved, they will go into life everlasting. So you have two options, everlasting punishment or everlasting life. So if you say that one is a state of mind and the other is a literal place, you are actually saying to God, God, you're lying. You're telling us there's everlasting punishment or everlasting life, and I'm going to make one a place and I'm going to make the other something in your head, an imagination. Well, like I said recently, this morning, was it? You can argue with God if you want, but you will be wrong 100% of the time. God says it's a real place. You say, well, I just can't even get my head around it. Forever and forever. I mean, how do you even begin to calculate that? No, it's not very easy. Lie down tonight. Turn your phone off, turn your light off, lie down in bed and try and imagine eternity. Let's just imagine if we could add up all the human cells in everybody's body in the world. There are 8 billion people in the world. Each human body contains, is it 30 billion cells, something like that? Tiny things that you can't even see except you have a microscope. Let's add them all up. That's going to be an enormous number. Now let's add to that all the grains of salt in the world. You know, when you put salt on your food, imagine every grain is a year. We'll add to that all of the grains of salt. Then we'll go out and we'll cut every blade of grass in the world. And we'll add all the blades of grass to the grains of salt, to the cells in everybody's body. And then we'll go to the beach. And we'll dig down as deep as we can, and we'll gather up every single grain of sand anywhere in the world. And then we'll look up to the heavens with the Hubble telescope, and we'll count all the stars. There's supposed to be a septillion stars at least. I would say it's probably 50 times that number. They keep revising the number up and up and up. Each star is a burning ball of gas. You just see a little pinprick in the sky, and that's not a star. That's a galaxy full of billions of stars. You add them all up. Imagine if we added the cells, the salt, the grains, grass, the sand, the stars, and let every one of those things represent a year. We add them all together. How many years do you think that would be? Oh, you say, that helps me. That helps me understand how long eternity is going to be. No, it doesn't. It doesn't even begin to help you understand it. Let me do something different to nudge you on a bit further. Instead of adding those together, we're going to multiply them. You ever done multiplication at school? 2 times 2 is 4. 7 times 7 is 49. 7 plus 7 is only 14. But 7 times 7 is 49. So we're going to get a much bigger number. So we start with all the human cells. 30 billion in each body times 8 billion. I can't even begin to think how big that is. Take that number, and then we're going to take all the grains of salt, and we're going to go that many cells times that many grains of salt equals, now we have an astronomical number. No calculator on earth could even put that down in print. Now then, take that astronomical number and multiply that by the blades of grass. Now we have almost like an infinite number for our minds to comprehend. Now take that number and multiply it by the grains of sand. And now take that number and multiply it by the stars in heaven. So now we have a number that's almost inconceivable. And let every one represent a year. If you die in your sins, my dear friend, And all that time passes in torment for all those years. When you get to the end of that astronomical amount of time, you haven't knocked a second of eternity. Your eternity will not be any shorter because of all of that. It's forever. It's forever. And it's forever. Imagine coming to the end of that and thinking, oh, I've finally come to the end. And then realizing, I've got no less ahead of me, despite doing all this time. There's no halfway point. There's no relief. Almighty God, oh, can it be that I should never cease to be, but ever live as long as thee through the long years of eternity? Eternity why? Eternity what? And let me finish with this question. Eternity where? Now this is where it comes personal. You know why eternity exists. You know what eternity is and how long it lasts. You've heard all of that. Now here's the question. What about you? Eternity where? Where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and me. Tell me. What will your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? Is your name in that book that's opened at the great white throne? That's all it's got in it, names. You say, how do you get your name in that book? You get saved. Do you wonder why we have a gospel meeting? A lot of churches don't have meetings like this, you know. Do you know why we have one? Because we believe in eternity. And we believe the best way for people to understand it is to preach it to them. This is far more effective than showing you a film about eternity. I cannot act out eternity, but I can tell you what God says about eternity. Is your name in the book of life? You say, how do I get my name in the book of life? My name was written in the book of life when I was 14 years of age. Had I died before that, if I was responsible, which I was, I would have been in hell and eventually the lake of fire. Is your name in the book? If your name's in that book and you've been saved by grace through faith in the person and sacrifice of the Son of God, who rose from the dead and lives in heaven, a glorious Savior who can save you this very night, you'll be in heaven for eternity. Oh, happy day. Imagine. Imagine. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining of the sun, we'll have no less days to sing the praise of the Lord Jesus than when we first begun. But if you die in your sins as you were born, you will spend eternity in the lake. Think of this lake. So when you first die, you go to hell, which is like the prison house, waiting for the final judgment. It's a place of torment. It's a place of indescribable horror. But then you will be raised out of that. Your soul will come out of hell. Your body will come out of the grave. And united together, body and soul, you'll stand before Christ at the great white throne. You'll know where you're going already, because if you've been in hell, your destiny is a lake of fire. But God wants justice to be seen to be done, and he wants all the consequences of everybody's lives to be added up. And there it will be in the books, or everything written that you've ever done. Did you hear what I just said? Everything written that you've ever done. Every lie, every look, every text message, every website, every attitude, every ambition, every sin, every single one will be there, and it will all come out in public before the entire population that has ever lived. And after that, you will be cast into a lake. Now, this is a literal lake, and it is on literal fire. The Lord Jesus says, do not be afraid of someone that can kill your body. You say, well, I'm terrified that someone might kill my body. I'm terrified to send my child to school in case someone shoots them. The Lord says, do not be terrified of people that can kill your body. This is what you should be terrified of. Someone who has the power, and there's only one person who has this power, and his name is God, has the power to cast both your body and your soul into the lake of fire. From a great white throne, cast into. Now, a star is a lake of fire. Have you ever looked at the sun? The sun is a star. Just take a look at a photograph of the sun. It's just a burning lake of fire with flares coming out here. It's just this big burning ball of fire. That's where you're going for eternity if you're not saved. When I was at school, we used to have lessons, science lessons. And in the chemistry lessons, we would do experiments. And we used to have a little machine called a Bunsen burner. And a Bunsen burner is a little gas, it's connected to a gas bottle, and it's a little tube, and you turn it on, and there's a blue kind of a flame comes out the top, and then you could heat up what was in a test tube to see what would happen and everything. And you had to be careful, because this was a real flame. And it would come out the top of this Bunsen burner, and people sometimes got burnt a little bit. Let me just ask you a question. If you were at school and there's this Bunsen burner, would you put your finger straight into that flame? You know, some of the boys used to do this. You know, they would put their finger across the flame like that. Well, of course, it hasn't got time to burn, so it looks all very clever. But what if you just put it into that flame? How long would you hold it there? 5 seconds? 10 seconds? 1 minute? 10 minutes? 20 minutes? You say, I would never do such a thing. That would be crazy. But you're happy to sit in a gospel meeting risking your entire body in a lake of fire. This is what the Bible says. It's literal. It's really, really true. If you don't believe me, read Matthew 13. There's a parable of the weeds and wheat in the same field, and the weeds are all burnt. And then the Lord Jesus says, let me translate this for you. And you come to the translation of the parable, and the weeds turn out to be people that are going to hell, and the wheat turns out to be people that are going to heaven. And when the people go to hell, they're cast into a furnace of fire. So in the parable, it's fire, and in the translation of the parable, it's fire. The fire of hell is real. And there will be billions of people in that place because of their sins. I should have been there. You will be there if you do not wake up and trust Christ as your Savior. You say, this is all very negative. I know it is. I know. I don't like preaching this. I don't often preach this. Maybe I should be preaching it with tears running down my face. Do you see that? There's none of that in hell. To my mouth my tongue is cleaving, not one drop my thirst relieving. Of the copious cooling water I so freely drank before, even death from me is flying, mocking all my groaning, my crying. Tauntingly, he does remind me how I fled from him before. Now I call him. Death evades me. Will he strike me nevermore? Echo answers, nevermore. There was a couple I used to know in Northern Ireland. Name was Ivan and Meta Dawson. Ivan has gone home to heaven. He grew up hearing the gospel like you are tonight, and it just kind of went in one ear and out the other. And later in life, he got a girlfriend who knew nothing about the gospel. And he used to go with the girlfriend to the dance and the bingo and all the stuff that used to go on back in the 1950s, I would imagine, somewhere around there after the war. And then one day, a preacher came to town called Harold Paisley. He was a young policeman who had got saved. His brother was a famous politician called Ian Paisley later on. And this young Harold Paisley man started preaching. And he used to preach, apparently, on hell every night. I was told that by Mr. Jim Allen from Malaysia, who was a missionary who got saved listening to Mr. Paisley. He says, it doesn't matter where he read, he just preached on hell every night. And Ivan said to his girlfriend, Meta, one day, she said, I've got to go to a meeting to please my parents, some church thing. There's a man going to preach. Would you like to come? And she was like, sure, why not? She told me this story herself. She went to hear this young Harold Paisley man. He was in his, I think, roughly mid to late 20s. Big, tall man with a big, booming voice. And he'd been saved. He'd been a drunkard in the army, and God had saved him. An amazing story. And Harold got up that night, and he said, I'm going to preach tonight on two words. I'm going to preach on Hades and Gehenna. Now, Hades is the Greek word for hell, and Gehenna is the Greek word for the lake of fire. I'm going to preach tonight on Hades and Gehenna. And off he went, and he preached about the prison house of hell, and how you'll be there waiting the day of judgment, and then emptied out of hell, hell will give up the dead that were in it, and you'll stand before the great white throne, and then you'll be cast into Gehenna, this lake that... And he went on, and he went on, and he went on. And Ivan was sitting there as if, oh, here we go again. In one ear, out the other. Heard it all before. But his girlfriend never, ever heard it in her life. You know what she told me? When I went to the office the next morning and sat at my desk, I was still trembling. She was still trembling at her desk the next morning. And she said to her boyfriend, do you believe what that man preached last night? Yeah, I've heard it all my life. And you think it's true? Oh, yeah, it's true. So you're going to hell? Yeah, I'm going to go to hell. But I'm going to get saved one day. Well, she thought, that's the most foolish thing I've ever heard. And very quickly after that, she got saved, which really shook Ivan up, because he thought, I've heard this all my life, and now she's got saved, she's only just heard it once, and he got saved. And Ivan and Meta Dawson, they lived up into their 80s. Meta's still alive, Ivan's gone, and I'll be going to the assembly where his son is to preach with Derek when we go back home to England. I wish there was somebody in this meeting and you were still trembling tomorrow morning. See, the problem is most people will go home and they'll go on Netflix and they'll go on YouTube and they'll go on whatever they go on, and everything I've said will be just like the birds of the air, just take it all away. But if you could really wake up tonight to understand where you're going, you could be saved tonight. Because hell is so bad, and hell is so long, and hell is so fearful, and hell is such darkness, and hell is such misery. Such is the awfulness of hell that God sent his only well-beloved Son from his side in heaven to come down to this earth and go and be nailed to a cross. And while upon that cross, the Bible says that God up in heaven made the soul of Jesus on the cross an offering for sin. And the Bible says, I read it this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he bore his own self, bore my sins in his body on that tree. And having taken all my sins upon him, the Father in heaven, God in heaven, unleashed upon his Son wave after wave of judgment, not because of his sin, but because my sins were on him. And the Lord God in heaven treated his precious, darling, beloved Son as if he was a sinner on the way to hell, and poured his wrath down upon him. Jesus on that cross is recorded in the Old Testament as saying, all thy waves and thy billows have gone over me. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. And he cries out in the midst of his agony and his sacrifice and his sin bearing, my God, why have you forsaken me? In the language of Aramaic, he cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. You say, why did he cry that cry? He cried that cry that I might never cry. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. He cried on the cross, I thirst, that I might never thirst. He bore in his body my sins on the cross that I might never bear my sins in hell. He was plunged into 3 hours of impenetrable darkness that I might never know the blackness of darkness forever. He was utterly and completely abandoned like a goat being led into the wilderness and just let go to wander in the void to bear my sins away. Alone, alone, he bore it all alone. He bled and died and suffered. Why? Because hell is desperate and hell is awful and hell is dreadful. Dreadful, dreadful, dreadful thought in hell to burn. Never to return. No, 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 never to come back anymore. Such was his love. He bore the wrath. He bore the judgment. He answered every charge of sin that God had against me. It was made to meet upon him. And he became answerable. And in my place, condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. And I say, hallelujah, what a savior. You say, I don't want to go to hell. I know I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. And if God put me in hell and shut the door and threw away the key, that's what I deserve. How can I know that I'm going to heaven? You can know you're going to heaven, my dear friend. Because Jesus died upon the cross for a guilty sinner like me. And so pleased with God with what Jesus did in his life-giving sacrifice that he raised him from the dead and said, well done, you finished it. Come and sit at my right hand, a prince and a savior and a great high priest. And I'll give you the whole world for your inheritance in a coming day and make every foe the footstool of your feet. And that man is my Savior. Why is he my Savior? Because he died for me. He bore my sin. And because he bore my sin, I've discovered this. I don't have to bear my sin because he's already borne it in my place. See, if you go to heaven, you'll be satisfied forever. But if you go to the lake of hell, you'll be thirsty forever. If you go to heaven, you'll be rejoicing forever. If you go to the lake of fire, you'll be regretting forever. If you go to heaven, you will be worshiping forever. If you go to the lake of fire, you'll be weeping forever. The Lord Jesus repeatedly said about being cast into hell, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Because you see, eternity for the saved is a day without a sunset. And eternity for the lost is a night without a sunrise. Which will it be for you, my friend? I plead with you, trust Christ tonight and make sure you're going to be in heaven in eternity, shall we pray?